It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Many of you may recall that in 2008, we celebrated the 250th anniversary of the founding of Fort Pitt in 1758. But in 2016, we're celebrating the 200th anniversary of the creation of the city of Pittsburgh. Here to discuss Pittsburgh's bicentennial is Heinz History Center President and CEO Andy Masick. Andy Masick, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh. Happy New Year. Is it too late to say Happy New Year?
It's never too late, especially this year, because it is going to be a happy one. 2016 marks the 200th anniversary of our city.
Well, Andy, I certainly remember when Pittsburgh celebrated its 250th anniversary of its founding a few years back. What happened during that fateful meeting between George Washington and John Forbes?
Well, we don't know with certainty what was said, but we can imagine what these guys who had traveled through these uncharted forests to get here to the forks of the Ohio. That's what they called the confluence of the Allegheny and Monongahela and the Ohio River. They rode in and found the smoldering ruins of Fort Duquesne. The French had blown up the powder magazines and bugged out up the river. And Washington turned to Forbes, probably, and said, what are we going to call this place now that the French are gone? Duquesne sounds way too French, so what should we call it? And it was Forbes who came up with Pittsburgh. We'll call it Pittsburgh. And that's why Pittsburgh has an H on it to this very day. It's a Scottish borough, not a German burg. So that's when the community of Pittsburgh was founded, we say, because that's when the fort was established in 1758. But a fort does not a city make. And it really took until 1816 for Pittsburgh to become a city. And that's when the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, the Senate and the House, finally voted to allow Pittsburgh to become a city, to become an incorporated city. And it took some lobbying to get this done. The people in Harrisburg had to determine whether a city had reached a sufficient stature and population to be called a city, for its citizens to be able to elect their officers. So this was a big deal for Pittsburgh in 1816, 200 years ago.
And what can you tell us about what the city was like back then?
Well, in 1816, it was a very different place. All of the community was nestled between the hill and the point in this triangle of land. We call it the Golden Triangle today because the Strip District was way out of town. I mean, that was Bayardstown. That was cow pasture out there. But some 5,000 residents were crammed in this little triangle of land. There were no bridges in town. Here we call ourselves the city of bridges today, with between 500 and 600 bridges. Well, in 1816, there weren't any. People had to get across the rivers by ferrying, and the ferrymen were making a good profit. And in the summertime, the rivers sometimes got so low that sandbars would pop up and people could walk across the rivers. So Pittsburgh was a very different place. The economy was based on iron and glass and textiles. Pork and packaged goods were starting to come up because people heading west needed food supplies. And so the people in Pittsburgh learned to package those things and send them west with the westward travelers. And the steamboat industry was starting to come up. In 1811, the first steamboat was constructed on the western waters here. And by 1816, there was a thriving steamboat industry. Think about this for a minute. It's one thing going downstream with a keelboat or a flatboat, bringing your—
As Lewis and Clark did.
Sure, in 1803. But for farmers to get their stuff to market, they had to, you know, go all the way down to New Orleans or someplace west. Well, they couldn't get stuff back up the river. You can't pole a flatboat up the Mississippi, up the Ohio River. You need steam power. And so when steam power came into being, you could have two-way trips up and down the rivers.
So I'm assuming that the city's official incorporation meant that the establishment of a city government was taking shape. Talk about how that all came together.
Well, first Pittsburgh was a township and then a borough, and then the next step is the city. The city is pretty cool because the people of the community could have a say in electing their officials. What they really elected was a city council, and the city council in turn elected a mayor. The first mayor was Ebenezer Denny, a Revolutionary War hero who only served for 6 months because of ill health. So our first government was a fledgling affair, but it gave the people of Pittsburgh a sense that, well, they had some control over their local government. It wasn't something that was handled at the county or the state level.
And how is Pittsburgh planning to celebrate its bicentennial?
Well, we're going to have a great party here in Pittsburgh in 2016. In fact, we'll probably have 200 parties. Mayor Peduto has empaneled a bicentennial commission. He's appointed me the chairman of that commission. We have 30 members on a steering committee, and we've broken that steering committee down into 6 subcommittees that will oversee educational programs, bridges, events, preservation, communications, and fundraising. We've got to raise some money to help pull off some of these things. There'll probably be, as I mentioned, 200 events, large and small, from neighborhood events to parades, from symphonies to exhibitions. All of this can be found on the website, pgh200.com. But the great thing about this party, it seems to me, and the mayor and I have talked about this a lot, is we don't want to spend a lot of money on it. We don't have a lot of money to spend. It's kind of like making stone soup. You know that story.
Of course.
Yeah, we all heard it as kids. These hungry soldiers come to town. Nobody has any food to share with them. They shutter their doors and close the windows. And the soldiers say, well, if you're all so hungry, maybe we can help you. We'll make some stone soup. And they pull out of their haversacks 3 round stones. And they say, well, all we need is a pot and some water, and let's build a fire. And the people started opening their doors and coming out and peering into the pot and wondering, what are they going to do with these stones? They put the 3 stones in, and then they said, all we have to do is wait now. But, you know, the best stone soup I ever had carrots in it. Remember that stone? Oh, yeah, that was good. So someone said, well, I've got some carrots to throw in. And so they threw that in there. And someone said, well, you know, stone soup with potatoes is particularly tasty. Oh, well, I've got some potatoes. We'll throw them in. Soon there was a chicken in there. There were turnips. There was all kinds of stuff. Everybody had something they could throw into the pot. And at the end of the day, there was enough food to feed everyone and leftovers as well as the best stew that they had ever had. Well, that's sort of the way it is in Pittsburgh today. There are lots of organizations in town. We don't have that much. We're all doing the best we can with what we have. And now the mayor says, let's celebrate our 200th anniversary. Well, we don't have anything. Well, yeah, we do. If we all pitch in what we do best,
a little of that,
what we've got, we can put together the best party you've ever seen. And that's the great thing about Pittsburgh, is not only do we have an abundance of riches of cultural organizations and art and recreation, but we've got a can-do spirit, and people are willing to roll up their sleeves and pitch in and cooperate.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and I'm here with Andy Masick of the Heinz History Center, talking about the 200th anniversary celebration of Pittsburgh's incorporation. And what you've just described sounds wonderful, but the 100th anniversary back in 1916 sounds like it was a little different and a little more elaborate.
Well, they really did pull out all the stops in 1916. They laid the cornerstone of the city-county building. Matter of fact, we're going to be looking for the time capsule that they put in there in 1916. You know, they illuminated the city and they had grand parades on the rivers and on land. This was a time that Pittsburgh was really flexing its muscle. The population of the city was over 500,000 people, and there was industry just booming. The population density was really great. And so the people wanted to remember their past, and centennial, well, that's a major milestone for a city. But we're not going to be outdone, I don't think. On March 18th, we're going to have a Incorporation Day celebration at the City County Building. It's true that Gloria Forzan, on the mayor's staff, has gotten the bomb squad together to try to locate the time capsules buried somewhere in the City County Building. They're using metal detector equipment to try to locate the metal boxes that contained what people in 1916 thought represented their life and times.
That would be amazing to see. There's more than one of them?
There may be two, because it turns out that the union that was working on building the city-county building didn't necessarily agree what the city fathers thought was important, so they did their own time capsule. And then there might have even been a third time capsule buried by another group. So we're going to try to find those time capsules. We're going to have a behind-the-scenes tour of the city-county building. There'll be entertainment from some of the nonprofit cultural organizations in town. We're going to have a great party. But we're not stopping there. Oh, no. On July 8th, we're going to have a birthday bash at the History Center and open a new exhibition on innovation. All the ways Pittsburgh has been innovating since 1816. And we're going to have bands and food and dancing on every floor of the History Center. We'll probably have between 2,000 and 3,000 people at the History Center that day. Now, the next day, there's going to be a parade to Point State Park. Down Liberty, it's going to be a birthday parade. But get this, we're going to invite back to Pittsburgh descendants of every mayor since Ebenezer Denny. There have been 60 mayors. Mayor Peduto is number 60. And we're going to invite all these descendants of mayors back for a blowout party with fireworks and bands and concerts down at Point State Park. But we're not stopping there. No. In November, for Light Up Night, there's going to be a party on a bridge. Now, we don't know which bridge yet, because there's some construction going on the Allegheny River bridges. But suffice it to say that River Life and the Pittsburgh Downtown Partnership are partnering to come up with some kind of fun celebration involving bridges, because we feel like this celebration is bridging the past and the future. And you know how Pittsburghers hate to cross rivers. We're going to sort of run counter to that trend, and we're going to get them to cross and have fun together. Because remember, in 1816, there weren't any bridges in Pittsburgh.
You had to, the one-year anniversary was paddling to the party.
That's right.
As it were.
It was 1818 at the first bridge.
Oh, okay. Well, still. So they would have been 2 years before that first bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it sounds fascinating, and we have a party to look forward to as Pittsburgh celebrates its 200th anniversary of the creation of the city officially. We've been talking with Andy Masick, who is the president of the NCEO of the Heinz History Center. Andy Masick, as always, thank you for being with us. We appreciate it.
You bet. It's my pleasure.
More Central Pittsburgh coming up. This is 90.5 WESA. Thank you.
Thank you.